from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2, verse 13 and following. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, and according to the time that he had learned from the wise men, then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what has been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Our scripture begins this morning by saying, once they had left. And we have to backtrack just a bit to remember who the they are that our scripture is talking about today. The they were the wise men, of course, as we spoke of last Sunday. They had come and they paid homage to Jesus. They had worshiped him and offered gifts. And you know, I must think that as the wise men gathered in worship, so too, this must have been a worshipful experience for Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, his earthly father. Can you imagine the glory that they shared in? The joy that engulfed them as proud parents celebrating the birth of the child. I saw a picture of my little great niece Lucy just yesterday in Montana saying, "I understand now more about love." Wow, what a gift those children bring to our lives. So that must have been the joy, not just for Mary and Joseph to have a child, but have the child from on high, the great gift of heaven in their lives for all the world to see. So it must have been worshipful. But then we hear this transition by the gospel writer Matthew that says, after the worship, after we proclaim glory to God, then we as people of faith must consider, as did Joseph and Mary, what then are we going to do with our faith? Or, to say it another way, what will we do in response to our worship and the grace of our God? You know, there's a theologian named Soren Kierkegaard who once said, when talking about worship, "So often our traditional view of worship is this. We view it much like a play, a performance at a theater, where actors or a musical theater is performed." He said we view it as going to the performance, and we think so often of God being the prompter or the director, the one who puts us on cue, who tells us and inspires us. And as God is the prompter, Kierkegaard said, the preacher is traditionally seen as the actor, and then we as the assembled are the audience. Kierkegaard said, we need to turn that model upside down to consider worship not only in that traditional view, but perhaps even being moved in worship to see it in this way, as the preacher, as the prompter, or the director. The worshipers as the actors, and God as the audience. Our worship, at some point along our journey, must take up feet and go forth, and we respond with our worship in action. That's what I find happening in our text today. Joseph, being warned in a dream, encouraged by the angel to go forth, he received this message to take the child and his mother and go. And we have that challenge before us daily as we consider God's goodness and glory. How are we individually and collectively, as a worship community and as a family, how are we called to go? In this passage today, I think there's some hints to us, some signs in the very life of Jesus that speak to us of how we are called to minister in our faith, or rather respond after worship. After we've glorified God, now what are we going to do with our faith and with our worship? The first step, it seems, that is clear in this passage of Scripture from Matthew is that where Jesus goes, where he ministers to first, even as a small child, is the family. That's where Jesus' ministry began. You know, our passages of text tell us in the gospel that Jesus did not begin his earthly ministry until he was about 30 years old. So what did he do prior to that? It wasn't that he was just sitting at home twiddling his thumb. Jesus was being a part of the family. He was ministering to those that God had given him first and foremost to care for and to love. Ministry friends started for Jesus at home, as it does for us, right with those we've been given to cherish the most of all. You know, as Joseph and Mary received this message from the angel to go to Egypt, think about this. In one sense, that must have been a very frightening call to go into the foreign country. But some scholars believe, William Barclay says this, that there were about 1 million Jews living in Egypt during that time, even in around just the city of Alexandria alone. So in some respect, as frightening as that journey may have been, it was also in some respect comforting to Joseph, to Mary. Why? Because they were going to kinsfolk. They were going, if we can extend it even a little further, to family, their own kind. And friends, that's where we go when we're down and out, when we need strength most of all. We go to those who we know will take us in. As one person once said, that is where home is. It's where they always have to take us in. That's family. And that's where Joseph and Mary took the Christ child as they went into Egypt, to a safe haven of those who would care for their needs. You see, Jesus learned it very early on that his ministry would model his parents' ministry of first caring for the family. I read just recently, and I shared this with my parents and my wife, Manya, where a poet and pastor named George Herbert once said this, I desire to thank God for the good stock in trade, so to speak, which I inherited from my parents for the business of life. Herbert continued by saying, a good mother and father is worth 100 schoolmasters. It begins at home. Vince sees that. He sees it on a daily basis as he ministers to young men and women who are so fractured in their family life, as he provides education, counseling, inspiration to these troubled young minds. He sees the desolation of families that are broken in parents who perhaps aren't ministering first at home. Friends, that's our first call. And it doesn't have to be just the parent-child. It certainly can be the child to the parent, or the niece and nephew to the uncle and aunt, or the grandparent. Our ministry begins in the Spirit of Jesus, right with those God has entrusted us to most of all. Isn't that what we see in the childhood of Jesus, where the scriptures don't speak much about the early life of Jesus? But in the Gospel of Luke, we know that familiar passage where Jesus and the family went to the temple. And Jesus stayed behind in the temple. And for 3 days, his parents traveled on. I bet they were having a grand old time being without him, don't you? Been a good trip in my household. But finally they return for Jesus. And these are the words that the gospel writer tells us. That Jesus went with them. And hear this, church. He was obedient to his parents. What does that mean? He was ministering right where he was. He began his ministry at home with the family. You know, I find this text, I hope you understand, I'm not preaching at you. I'm receiving this with you, because so often it's tempting for me, or any of us in ministry, or in life, or in business, hear this now, to become so engrossed with serving the world, we fail to serve those right at home. It's a temptation for us of the cloth, and us as parents, and us as bosses and business leaders. I've heard preacher kids say, my daddy gave everything to our community except for our family. Wow, I lament and yearn not to do that. We begin, friends, our first ministry as people of faith to minister right where we are. That was the Spirit of Jesus. Some scholars believe that Joseph must have died when Jesus was pretty young, or certainly before he was an adult, before he reached his 20s. Some support this opinion because as Jesus went to the first act of his first miracle, the wedding in Cana, you remember the passage? It says that Jesus went to the wedding at Cana with his friends and his mother. Had Joseph been living, he certainly would have made that trip, most scholars believe. So I suspect, what was Jesus doing? How did he spend his life up until the age of 30? You know, I suspect this may have been what Jesus was doing. He was working. He was providing for the family. He was a carpenter. He was a craftsman. He had a humble job to do this, to put bread on the table for his family. I suspect if he was a carpenter, a craftsman, a tradesman, he knew the challenges of working with the public. Can you imagine that? The challenges of people who were irrational customers. The challenges of those customers, maybe, who didn't always pay their bills. You see, I find that Jesus began right at home, but he also worked in the simple, respectable, humble life of supporting those he cared for. And in the process, we can relate to him. He endured the things that we have in life in family, the challenges, the adversities of the everyday, friends, our Savior embraced that in His journey of life too. You know, I heard a story once recently where the Queen of France said this. There was an uprising among the people, among the paupers. And the Queen asked, as she looked down upon them, "Why, what's the trouble?" One of her subjects said, "Well, madam, they have no bread." She said, "Well, what's the matter? If they have no bread, let them eat cake." The queen just didn't get it. She was disattached from her people. Friends, that is not the role of our Lord. He lived in the daily. Jesus began His ministry by embodying the needs of those who He knew most of all. May we embrace that. But not only did Jesus start at home, I find words of comfort with this too, an inspiration, friends. Jesus started with the small things of life. The little things of life. Making a living. Supporting His family, earning a good, honest wage, those things that don't change the world on a grand stage. Is there any higher calling than supporting and loving those on a daily basis who God's called us to? The little things, as we sang about this morning, the little things, when God is in it, can be transformed into greatness and change the world forever. Our God did it. There's a beautiful story, likely a fable, but a beautiful story about the journey of Jesus and Mary and Joseph to Egypt. And the story goes like this. As they were fleeing in a hurry, as they were getting out of Bethlehem, they stopped for the evening. They made their home for the night in a cave. It was dark and cold. Herod was after them. And there was a small little spider that saw the beautiful infant child and thought, "I'm so small. I'm so little, but I wish I could do something for that precious child." Spider couldn't think of but one thing. The only thing he knew how to do. He started weaving a web. And as he weaved this web over the front of the cave, he wanted to kind of somehow maybe keep a little wind out for the evening. And he worked all through the night. And then in the early dawn, Herod, some of his assembled soldiers came searching, looking all about in the land for the child that may have escaped. They came upon the cave and they were about to burst in. And the centurion that saw his soldiers about to enter the cave said, "Stop. Don't you see the spider web? Don't waste your time. No one's been in there for ages." It's the little. It's the small. It's the doing what God has equipped us to do that transforms the world. Friends, that's how Jesus, our Lord, began His ministry in the daily with the family, walking the faith. And oh, how He is contrasted with the life of Herod. Herod was engulfed with deception, right? Herod did things in secret. You know, that's a good rule of thumb for us, isn't it? I heard it said once, if you don't want your mama to know about it, you probably don't need to be doing it. Herod lived in deception. But Jesus, on the contrary, came in truth. Herod was engulfed with anger in serving himself. Jesus embodied love, friends, and serve the world. This week I was able to visit with Bobby Wells at her rehab in Tupelo. We had a nice visit, and Bobby said to me before we left, she said, "Give my love to the women of the church." Not that she doesn't like you men too, but she said, "Give my love to the Presbyterian women. I appreciate their work, Lynn, their work." And Bobby also said this as she got a little teary-eyed as we were visiting. She said, "Jody, I have the best family. They wanted me." That's the word she used. She said, "They wanted me here with them." She said, "I don't know what I ever did to deserve this." And she said, "You know what I did today for the first time? I went and had lunch in the cafeteria." And she said, "I sat down there and it was scary. There was a lot of folks I didn't know. It wasn't family." But she said, "As I sat there and they were looking at me, staring at me, she said, I just smiled the biggest smile I could smile and said, 'Hello, how are you today?'" She was doing what she could. Bobby was ministering right where she was with what God had given her. Little as much. Friends, when we embrace the nature of Jesus and begin our ministry at home with our family, focusing on the little opportunities that God places before us to daily, and in doing so, we indeed show His love and proclaim His glory. Amen.